Please turn with me this morning to Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Now, the subject before us this morning is the ascension of Christ and the assurance and blessings that come from this wonderful event. Now, Christian faith rests upon facts. It rests upon historical facts. It rests upon the absolute truth that God created the heavens and the earth and all that is therein. He is a creator God. He is a sustainer. It rests upon the remarkable and wonderful truth of the incarnation of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that God himself, in the person of the Son of God, took upon himself a body and humbled himself and came to this earth on a mission, one mission, to save sinners. And this wonderful man, God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, lived a perfect life. He completely obeyed God's law without one element of sin, one stain, absolutely, perfectly. In him the Father was well pleased. And the Christian faith rests not only upon creation, upon this remarkable and wonderful miracle of the incarnation, and the perfect life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It rests upon the fact that the Son of God made man, Jesus, was willing to go to Calvary and there upon Calvary's cross suffer the eternal wrath due to the sins of all those who put their trust in him and die as the perfect sacrifice on their behalf. And satisfy God's justice. That God was satisfied with this sacrifice. God was completely and utterly satisfied with the atoning work of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These are some of the facts, but it's not everything. Christian faith rests upon the wonder of the resurrection of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is not here. He is risen gloriously. But then this morning we come to consider another wonderful fact, the ascension of Christ. That after 40 days, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, rose again, not only from the dead, but ascended up on high after 40 days, ascended up on high into heaven, there to sit down at the right hand of God the Father, to make intercession for us as a great high priest in heaven above. These are some of the wonderful facts, but there's another fact that Christian faith rests upon, which is so important for us this morning. The word of God tells us, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Last Lord's Day morning, Ed was speaking about the judgment and this awesome judgment to come. And are we ready to meet this wonderful person, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, before whom every knee shall bow? Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Now the question is this morning, are you ready to look Jesus in the eye. And the only way we can look Jesus in the eye is by trusting in him now. Trusting in him and in him alone. Otherwise we will look upon him as our judge. And it will be a fearful look. It will be a terrifying look. But if we are trusting in him, it will be such a loving look. We'll look to him. Here is my shepherd. Here is my saviour. Here is my Lord. He is the one above all others. And we will go to be with him and the Father and the Spirit in the new heavens and in the new earth. So these great facts of Christianity, friends, the great facts of the Christian faith that Satan is trying to attack one by one. He attacks the fact of creation. He attacks the fact of the reality of the incarnation. He attacks the fact of that the atoning work on Calvary, it was just just like any other crucifixion, they tell us. And the resurrection, they say to us, was not a proper resurrection. And the ascension, they say, is all in the mind. These are the types of things that Satan puts in the minds of liberal Christians. But we must not give way to this liberal thinking. We must stand firm with the fundamentals of the Christian faith. God is our creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took upon himself a body and came to this earth, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit of God, and lived a perfect life, and went to Calvary as the one and only Savior of the world. And the resurrection, a glorious resurrection, and the ascension, and the fact that he's coming again. If we believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension of Jesus Christ, we must believe as well that he's coming again. He's coming again in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Well, the ascension then is equally an essential point of our faith. The words are taken up, are mentioned here in this passage of scripture four times in this chapter. And in the Gospels, the ascension is described as him being received up. Isn't that wonderful? Received back up into glory as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, received up into the very presence of his Father, carried up. The ascension. And, you know, the ascension is also included in what is described as the mystery of godliness. It's included in the wonder of the person, work, death, and resurrection of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16... And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Received up into glory. Oh, I mentioned this to emphasize to your minds this morning of the significance and the importance of the ascension. It goes along in total harmony with the saving work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is a great comfort to us this morning. As the Apostle Paul speaks about the resurrection, if Christ is not risen, then we are without hope. And if Christ is not ascended up on high, we have no high priest in heaven above. We have no one to intercede for us at the Father's right hand. No, the ascension actually is a doctrine, a truth of great comfort to us this morning. Our Lord has ascended up on high in great glory. He has been received up into glory. He's now at the Father's right hand. But you know, and I say this reverently, God the Father in his sovereign will did not make things up, as it were, decide to do things in stages, in a sense that making up the situation as it went along. This was all planned, even before time, in eternity. These events, they had a certainty about them, because they were the sovereign, eternal will of God the Father. And they will happen, and they did happen. And therefore the second coming of Christ will happen. It's the same sovereign will of God. And I want to just emphasize this, because we sometimes do not appreciate that not only was the death of Jesus Christ prophesied, not only was the birth of Jesus Christ prophesied, not only was the resurrection of Jesus Christ prophesied, but his ascension was prophesied. If we turn to Psalm chapter 16, Psalm 16 and verse 8, and the purpose really of bringing these truths to your mind this morning in this message is really to encourage you, to assure you in the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, to fix in our minds that we have a Saviour, a great High Priest at the Father's right hand. So if we look at Psalm 16 verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures for evermore. And looking forward to that glorious ascension up on high, back into heaven. If we turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 25, we will see how the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter is using this same psalm. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of your life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Now you see here how Peter links the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ with the ascension. You will make me full of joy in your presence. So he clearly links Psalm 16 with not only the death and resurrection, but the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was prophesied. It was prophesied that it would come to pass in Psalm 24 and verse 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. That is often spoken of as an ascension verse, prophetic of the ascension of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we see this again. I'll just share with you one or two references here, just for the assurance of our faith this morning, in chapter Psalm 47:6. Sing, Psalm 47 verse 5, God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nation. God sits on his holy throne. And then we can see this evident again in Psalm 68, verse 19, verse 18. You have ascended up on high. You have led captivity captives. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, with the God of our salvation. And then we can see this connection used by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. There's a linkage here again to see how the Old Testament prophecies are used in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 4. And we see here in verse 8, therefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to man. Now this ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth as part of his suffering. He who descended, it also is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. So you see here, friends, as the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was prophesied, so the ascension. And the ascension is particularly an encouragement for our assurance. We have a Saviour that has gone up on high, who's now sat down again at the Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. But just one other reference, just to really establish this very clearly in our minds. In Psalm 110 verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstools. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. And then we see again this use made of prophetic scripture in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2 and verse 34. And there we read again the use made, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And in connection with this, we see the previous verse, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father of the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear, having been exalted to the Father's right hand. And so we see not only that this is included in the mystery of godliness, it is also prophesied in Scripture, and this is important for our assurance. This is a part of God's perfect plan. It is part of God's perfect purpose, and it was also symbolized. You remember how Elijah was carried up into heaven in a chariot of fire, and that was an Old Testament event, and that was foretelling and symbolizing the way when the Lord Jesus himself will be taken up into heaven to be at the Father's right hand. But you know, when the Lord Jesus was here upon earth, he taught this truth himself. He not only taught the truth of his coming sufferings and his resurrection, but he also spoke clearly of his ascension to come as part of his doctrine. We read in John chapter 7 and verse 33, then Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, then I go to him who sent me. So Jesus is clearly saying there that he is going to ascend up on high to be back again with his Father. And then in chapter 13, verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. Now, what is an amazing truth here? As the Lord Jesus knew he was God made man, he knew he'd come from the glory, he knew he was living here upon this earth, he was going to Calvary to suffer, he knew that he would rise again, he knew that he would ascend up on high to be with his Father once again in eternal glory. Knowing these things, he took a bowl and he washed his disciples' feet. Now that's humility. That's humility. Knowing who you are, as Jesus did, knowing the glory that was his, knowing the future victory, knowing that he would accomplish his Father's will, knowing that he would be received back up into glory in triumph, he washed the disciples' feet. What room have we got for pride, friends? What room do we have for pride in our hearts? Why are we so proud? What is the answer to pride? The answer to pride is to consider him, is to consider the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What an example he is for us this morning. But what are the benefits then and the blessings of the ascension for us this morning? Well, I want you to remember it was a visible ascent. Now this is important for us because it was witnessed by his disciples, his close disciples. If we look again at the chapter that we read in Acts chapter 1 verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. They looked steadfastly. This wasn't a glance, friends. This wasn't just a thing that sort of flashed by their eyes. They looked steadfastly. They were intent. They were concentrating. They understood clearly this event. And they witnessed to it. And it assured the apostles that the God-man Christ Jesus had most assuredly ascended up into heaven, but he'd done so in his glorified body, wherein was the evidence of Calvary. He was talking to them in his risen body. That body which had the nail pierced hands, the side that had been torn, the feet that had been pierced with the nails, and yet in a glorified body, the evidence of Calvary. That was the body that he was within, his glorified, resurrected body, the very person of the Lord Jesus, the God-man Christ Jesus, was speaking to the disciples, instructing them, and then immediately he was taken up into heaven. So we know this morning that it's really Jesus there in heaven. It's the God-man Christ Jesus in heaven, who is at the Father's right hand. And the Father looks upon his Son and he sees the evidence of Calvary before him. And this is such an assurance for us. Our crucified, risen Saviour is at the very throne of God, at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And his very glorified body is a witness to the angels, is a witness to his Father in heaven. And it speaks volumes. It speaks eternally for us this morning that the Lord Jesus avails for us. His blood avails for us. His suffering avails for us. His intercession avails for us. Do you trust him this morning? Do you believe in him this morning? But then the ascension is a cause for real worship. Real worship. We praise God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for salvation. We praise the Lord for dying for us upon the cross and rising again, do we praise God for his ascension? If you turn with me to Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24 and verse 51. And again, this is a very moving account of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was at Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. What compassion, what love this is. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him. The first thing they did was to worship him. And so the ascension, like the death and the resurrection, is a cause for real worship in our hearts. Real joy, because it was the cause for great joy here. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And so this morning, we can leave these premises with great joy. We can praise God because the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended up on high and he's speaking for needy sinners to the Father even as we speak. But then, thirdly, in the benefits and blessings of the assurance, it motivated obedience. It motivated obedience. You see, at the same time as the Lord Jesus Christ ascended up on high just prior to this, he spoke to them in verse 46 of Luke 24, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." He was teaching them from the Old Testament. He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he goes on to say in verse 47, and this is where the commitment comes in of the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And we're part of that this morning, friends. This amazing commission. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Well, of this motivated obedience. They understood their commission. And we know the apostles went out and preached the gospel and suffered because of that. And the gospel spread abroad in a most wonderful way. And so the ascension should motivate obedience. But the assurance of the ascension is truly found in the fact that the Lord Jesus is reigning again in heaven as we speak. We know he's not here on earth in bodily form. He's in earth, he's in heaven in his resurrected body. The Apostle Peter, preaching again after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to the commission given to him and the other disciples, he said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." And we are witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. There again, obedience. But you see this ascension. Here clearly the ascension is linked to salvation. God himself has exalted to his right hand to be prince, the ruler, and savior, that repentance might be given, forgiveness of sins. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, not only in the whole business of salvation, he's also in heaven at the Father's right hand to intercede for us. In an understanding way, we have an understanding high priest now at the Father's right hand, who's ascended up on high, and he understands your tears. He understands your trials. Dear friends, I was reading yesterday to a beloved person in Psalm 56, and there it says, God has put all your tears in his bottle. Isn't that a wonderful expression? God has put all your tears in his bottle. There's no wasted tears for the Lord's people. There's heartfelt tears that no one else sees. God knows. And at the right hand of the throne of God the Father is God the Son, the ascended God-man Christ Jesus. And he's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He's moved with compassion. This is our Savior. This is part of the wonder of the ascension. And then finally this morning, I must conclude, we've gone over time. If you turn with me to John chapter 14, and here is something that should, another remarkable text of assurance that links with the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14 and verse 1, these are the words of the Lord Jesus to you this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, we have a working Savior. We have a Savior who is ascended up on high, not just sitting at the Father's right hand, and that's wonderful, but sitting there with authority and with a purpose, not only to save, but to prepare. He's preparing a place for all of his people, a special place, a place reserved in heaven for you. But then he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, just a few thoughts this morning, dear friends, to encourage you with the authority of the ascension, the wonderful truth of the ascension. Oh, may it warm our hearts to trust more deeply and more assuredly in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for there is no other way whereby we can be saved, or we can be right with God, or we can ultimately go to heaven at last.